looking forward to a good time of worship and celebrating Jesus. So thanks for coming and joining us. Let's pray and let's sing. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can be together in your name tonight. And as we're here, we look forward to meeting you in fresh ways. And above all, we want to honor and glorify your name. So I pray that you will search and know our hearts, that you'll cleanse us from any impure attitudes or anything that would detract from our love for you, our connection with you. So we invite you to come, Holy Spirit, move in our midst, honor and glorify the name of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Let's sing. Keep in mind the songs we just sang, because Jeremy's been reading my sermon notes again. Here's my heart, Lord. Take it. It's yours. And we sang, my heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life is in your hands. My life is yours. Take it all. Take it all. I lay down my life. In your presence, I will live. And then the refrain we heard as we were listening, I just want to be with you. And all to Jesus I surrender. All to thee I freely give. Keep those words in mind. I jot them down here. So thank you, Jeremy. Great choices. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us today? Jeff?
So we had graduation Friday.
All right.
We were able to have everybody plus almost the entire town to the outside.
Fantastic.
And the unique part was to reopen and close our graduations with prayer.
Good.
So we were able to keep doing that. But the first state where
that didn't happen.
They can't do that.
That's crazy.
And on top of that, so it's an outdoor graduation, and y'all saw the forecast was on Friday. So we ended up bumping it back for an hour, and by the time we got there to set up, it was sunny, and we had a rainbow behind us.
Wow. So, it doesn't get any better than that.
So I think that was God smiling down on us saying,
I agree. Absolutely. That's awesome. Yes.
Testimony. I just have a praise God, glory away kind of thing. Has sounds anybody like seen the Sight and Sound?
I'm sorry. Sight and Sound.
Sight and Sound. Yeah. I got to see actually one of those yesterday, and it was on Queen Esther.
Oh,
it was amazing. It was amazing. And it was just even up on the screen and stuff, but all the emotions and just putting you right there, and it was incredible. It was just praise God.
Praise God. You saw a video?
Yeah.
Presentation?
Yep, the visitor presentation.
We've been there in person.
Wow.
And, and yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Something we should maybe make a church trip out of sometime. What?
We looked into it like this year.
It's not cheap. And,
well, because they can only have it half, tickets were double.
Oh, okay.
Like, they were twice as much as they used to be, so
okay.
Hopefully they'll come back down.
Yeah, things are opening up. Yeah. Yeah, that's an amazing production company. And stuff they do is excellent. Well, I'm thankful that I'm with you tonight, and that I went into the emergency room and came out on the same day. I just apparently didn't think I was holy enough. So I punched a hole in my lip right here, just above my lip with a fish hook. And so I walked into the emergency room with a jig head sticking out of my, hanging down from my lip and a long leader on it. And I was walking kind of like this and was mostly covered, and they opened the door. Can we help you? Yeah, come with me. So I walked past the nurse's station, and There were a number of them sitting in there, and I looked at them. I said, yeah. I said, I looked in a mirror before I came so I could see what a dummy looks like. And sadly, it looks just like me. So the doctor came in and looked at it and said, well, at least it was a new look. I said, yeah. And then she said, well, a couple ways we can do it. She told me about a trick they use where they can tie a string around it, push it in a little deeper, dislodge the barb, and then pop it right out. I said, but it's your lip, so you might not be able to do that. Maybe I shouldn't try that there. So I'm thinking, why you don't try it? Because sometimes you wind up ripping the flesh out when the barb doesn't completely let go or something. I don't know. So they laid me on a bed, numbed my lip. Felt like when you're getting a tooth pulled or filled or something. And they started working on it. Pretty soon they decided, well, we're going to try that trick. And so they got me laying there and they said, I guess we better take your glasses off. And I'm going to put a towel over your face. I said, what's that? So when the blood spurts, it doesn't get in my eyes? Or, you know. And they said, no, they said it's too late in the day to get that dirty. And so they laid me down. They put a towel over my face. Then they started working with me. So in the process of working with me, they shut my nose so I couldn't breathe. So I opened my mouth to breathe. And they said, are you okay? I said, well, you closed my nose, so I had to open my mouth to breathe. Oh, okay. Fancy's having to fit. I'm going too far with this. But so they tried jerking it out, and I mean, she jerked on it because it, you know, I could, no pain. And yeah, I mean, up to this point in the story, I'm not feeling any pain whatsoever. When the hook went in, it was nice and sharp, but didn't hurt. As it was hanging there, it didn't hurt. I kind of held it most of the time. I didn't want it to come on through on its own. And so, like I said, I wasn't apparently feeling holy enough. And so I put one hole in, and then the doctor decided I still wasn't holy enough. So she made another hole when she pushed it on through the rest of the way to pull it out. And then irrigated it good, and they gave me an antibiotic and sent me home. No stitches, no nothing. And hardly even a mark, so I'm not even going to have a battle scar to be able to talk about this for years. I'm just, Jeff?
So was that the biggest fish you ever caught?
That was the biggest, that was the biggest sucker I ever caught. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the picture that you missed was a selfie of you driving down the road with a hook in your face.
Well, I thought about sending you a second selfie with another hook taped to my lips so that you could see what it looked like, but I thought you might not want to see that. And then I captured it. I mean, here's, I did this so that you could see what I look like. Now I got to go back to McCready again. Yeah, but, but I didn't. So I'm thankful it was not more serious than that. So. It happened to me years ago, Jeff, right? Weren't you with me that day when we were out fishing? No, we pulled up at the dock at McCready. Okay, I forget who all was with me. It might have been Jeremy. Yeah, it was my hand. I don't know where in my hand, but it was somewhere in my hand. And the barb was in. Once the barb is in, it's tough to get it out by yourself. So. So I consider myself holy enough now.
So what kind of lure do you use to catch normal fish?
Yeah, I'll show it to you sometime. Okay, I don't think you'd really want to catch one of them, though.
So, that's,
yeah. Okay. All right. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you want to pass the basket to me? That's a Greek word. Jesus is God so loved the world. Let's do a children's story, shall we? Ooh, a box. Hi. Look what I have a box. What's in the box?
I don't know what it
is. You don't know?
Is there a mouse inside the box? I'm going to give my
shiny. A mouse?
A dead mouse. I have all the shiny.
It's a box inside of a box. It's amazing what you can decide something is only seeing the outside of it. And I don't even see anything written on it except it says reorder : papermart.com and a phone number. Orange, California. Oh, did you hear that? Uh-oh. Is it broken? Marbles. Legos, marbles, dead mouse. Anybody want it?
Me.
It's mine.
Okay.
It's mine.
Okay.
I don't know that I even want to share it.
Okay.
Wonder what it might be. Wonder if it's still what it was when I put it in the box. Do you think? You think it is?
I think it's mine.
It is. It's the same thing it was when I put it in the box. Wow. See?
No.
Oh, I see it. I see it fine. But you don't see it?
No. You see the box.
See if it'll come out.
Ah. Ah.
So what is it?
Pennies.
Yeah. But you can't get to them because they're in a jar.
What if I unscrew the jar?
I got one. Would you like it?
Yes.
No. No.
Why would I share them with you?
Because you're good.
Because they're good.
You're
good. No, you're good.
Sharing.
Because
sharing is caring.
You're sharing.
No,
you're
cutting off.
Because
of COVID, you
want to
share them.
Because of COVID, I want to share them. Well, if you had this, would you want to share them?
Yeah.
It depends who.
You would?
It depends who.
If you had to?
No, it depends.
It depends on who.
I would share with Anna, but not with your sister.
Share it with anyone except people who don't believe in God.
Yeah.
You must think you're in church or something.
We are.
Well, let me ask you this. Some of you say, or most of you say you would share them. Would you share them? I'd say, yes, you would. Josiah, you can share them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, would you share them with Jesus?
Duh.
I give them all to him.
Give
the whole thing to him. You'd give him 20.
What if
there's
only
20? Okay.
Give him half.
Okay. Well, do you think there might be some in there that you wouldn't want to give him?
No.
You're giving everything.
Yeah.
Some of you have given your hearts to Jesus, right? Yeah. Did you give him everything? Or might there be something in like a dark secret area that you don't want him to know about? Like maybe I was mean to my brother or sister? Or maybe I had a bad attitude about helping mom and I just don't want Jesus to know about that? Well, you can listen to my sermon tonight because I think it's important that we give Jesus everything that we are and everything that we have and say, this is yours, Lord. Even the secret things that I don't want him to know about, because he can take care of those things. He can get rid of those things and make them like they never happened, and give us a fresh start, and help us start life over without sin. And that's neat. And so, being such a nice guy that I am, I'll share my evidence with you.
I want a second one.
Oh, no. Everybody gets one before anybody gets two, right? Whoops, sorry. Somebody's finger got a little greedy. Okay, did everybody get one?
Yeah.
Some people want two.
I want two.
Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us and you want to have us and be in relationship with us, even with everything that we do wrong. And I thank you that when we sin, you forgive us of our sin. And you cleanse us. You make it just like it never happened. And I praise you for that. I pray for these children. I pray that they will continue to learn to know and love you better every day. They'll give their hearts and their lives to you completely with nothing held back. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Maybe that's not a good place for them. I'm going to get a bad dash of adults up here to the front to get hold of them. One can't be careful when they have M&Ms in their position. Weren't you? Yes?
Yes.
Because you heard a different rendition of the before. More than one occasion.
Without eating handfuls.
Yes. Yes. I'm getting better in my older, mature years. Jeremy, it says it's looking for my MacBook Air. I don't know why. Almost ready.
I clicked it back.
There it is. Why is it there? There we go. It got started on the last one and came to the first one. Eliza, there are 6 slides tonight. And this is number 1. And
he's,
2 of them.
He's going to read the whole book of Jonah tonight.
No.
Jonah's so short.
Deuteronomy.
Oh. Close.
2 of them. past, Eliza has looked at how many slides there were and wondered if we could get through that. But, so that's why. Having fun with it. Having fun with it. Oh, I've got a couple sheets of paper, though. My heart, Christ at home. This is a message that was written many, many years ago. Goes back maybe to 1951. It's older than me, this story, this rendition of the scripture. And he says it so well that I'm just going to share with you a good bit of what he says. And some of you have heard this before, because many years ago, or a number of years ago, I've preached this on more than one occasion. But it's been a long time, and I think it serves as a good reminder for us that whose we are, and who we belong to, and who's in charge in life, and our relationship to the Lord Jesus. So, a couple verses from John 14:23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So the promise is that Jesus and the Father are coming to live with me, to live in me. And these are in red letters in this Bible. That's why it's in red letters on the screen, because these are the actual words of Jesus. He said, I'm coming to live in you. Now, if we really believe that, how would we live? Exactly like we do now? Or might there be one or two little tiny adjustments that we might make? Oh, or a bunch. Well, those are questions for us to examine tonight, to think about, to pray about. Another verse from Ephesians 3. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It quit before it was supposed to, that Christ would make his home in you, is the rest of it. So I apologize for stopping my copy short of what it should be. So with that, let me share what Robert Munger shared in a message. It says, without question, well, let me read that verse to you as he wrote it here. That God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Or, as another has translated, that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts by faith. I looked for that other translation to have it up here, but I didn't find what that other translation was. But just think about that. Christ settling down, being at home in my heart. That's similar to the dove rested on Jesus and stayed. Without question, one of the most remarkable Christian doctrines is that Jesus Christ himself, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, will actually enter a heart, settle down, and be at home there. Christ will make the human heart his abode. Our Lord said to his disciples, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. It was difficult for them to understand what he was saying. How was it possible for him to make his abode with them in this sense? Abode is where he lives. It's his dwelling. It's his house. It is interesting that our Lord used the same word here that he gave them in the first of the 14th chapter of John. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Our Lord was promising his disciples that just as he was going to heaven to prepare a place for them and would welcome them one day, now it would be possible for them to prepare a place for him in their hearts, and he would come and live in them. They could not understand this. How could it be? Then came Pentecost. The Spirit of the living Christ was given to the church, and they understood. God will not dwell in Herod's temple in Jerusalem. God did not dwell in a temple made with hands. But now, through the miracle of the outpoured Spirit, God would dwell in human hearts. The body of the believers would be the temple of the living God, and the human heart would be the home of Jesus Christ. It is difficult for me to think of a higher privilege than to make Christ a home in my heart, to welcome, to serve, to please, to fellowship with him there. Amen. One evening, I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. What an entrance he made. It was not a spectacular or emotional thing, but very real. It was at the very center of my life. He came into the darkness of my heart and turned on the light. He built a fire in the cold hearth and banished the chill. He started music where there had been stillness, and he filled the emptiness with his own loving, wonderful fellowship. I have never regretted opening the door to Christ, and I never will, not into eternity. This, of course, is the first step in making the heart Christ's home. He has said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to them and will sup with them, and they with me." If you're interested in making your life an abode of the living God, let me encourage you to invite Christ into your heart, and he will surely come. After Christ entered my heart, and in the joy of this new relationship, I said to him, "Lord, I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want to have you settle down here and be perfectly at home. Everything I have belongs to you. Let me show you around and introduce you to the various features of the home that you may be more comfortable and that we may have fuller fellowship together." Amen. Sounds like a good idea. He was very glad to come, of course, and happier still to be given a place in my heart. The first room was the study, the library. Let us call it the study of the mind. And we're going to go through different rooms in this story. Now, in my home, this room of the mind is a very small room with very thick walls, but it is an important room. In a sense, it's the control room of the house. He entered with me and looked around at the books in the bookcase, magazines on the table, pictures on the walls. As I followed his gaze, I became uncomfortable. Strangely enough, I had not felt badly about this before, but now that he was there looking at these things, I was embarrassed. There were some books there that his eyes were too pure to behold. There was a lot of trash and literature on the table that a Christian had no business reading. And as for the pictures on the wall, the imaginations and thoughts of the mind, these were shameful. I turned to him and said, "Master, I know that this room needs a radical alteration. Will you help me make it what it ought to be, to bring every thought into captivity to you?" "Surely," he said, "gladly will I help you. First of all, take all the things that you are reading and looking at which are not helpful, pure, good, and true, and throw them out. Now, put on the empty shelves the books of the Bible. Fill the library with scriptures and meditate on them day and night. As for the pictures on the wall, you will have difficulty controlling these images. But here's an aid. he gave me a full-size portrait of himself. Hang this centrally, he said, on the wall of the mine. I did, and I have discovered through the years that when my thoughts are centered on Christ himself, his purity and power cause impure thoughts to back away. So he has helped me to bring my thoughts into captivity. And I suggest to you, if you have difficulty with this little room of the mind, that you bring Christ in there. Pack it full with the Word of God, meditate upon it, and keep before it the immediate presence of the Lord Jesus. From the study, we went into the dining room, the room of appetites and desires. Now, this was a very large room. I spent a good deal of time in the dining room and much effort in satisfying my wants. I said to him, "This is my favorite room. I am quite sure you will be pleased with what we serve." He seated himself at the table with me and asked, "What's on the menu for dinner?" "Well," I said, "my favorite dishes, money, academic degrees, and stocks, with newspaper articles of fame and fortune as side dishes. These were the things I liked, worldly fare." I suppose there was nothing radically wrong in any particular item, but it was not the food that should satisfy the life of a real Christian. When the food was placed before him, he said nothing about it. However, I observed that he did not eat it. And I said to him, somewhat disturbed, "Master, don't you care for this food? What's the trouble?" He answered, "I have meat to eat that you do not know of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." He looked at me again and said, "If you want food that really satisfies you, seek the will of the Father, not your own pleasure, not your own desires, not your own satisfaction. Seek to please me, and that food will satisfy you." And there at the table, he gave me a taste of doing God's will. What a flavor! There's no food like it in all the world. It alone satisfies. Everything else is dissatisfying in the end. Now, if Christ is in your heart, and I trust he is, what kind of food are you serving him? And what kind of food are you eating yourself? Are you living for the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, selfishly? Or are you chosen God's will for your meat and drink? We walked into the living room next. This room was rather intimate and comfortable. I liked it. It had a fireplace, overstuffed chairs, a sofa, and a quiet atmosphere. He also seemed pleased with it. He said, "This is indeed a delightful room. Let us come here often. It's secluded and quiet, and we can visit together." Well, naturally, as a young Christian, I was thrilled. I couldn't think of anything I would rather do than have a few minutes with Christ in intimate companionship. He promised, "I will be here early every morning. Meet me here, and we will start the day together." So morning after morning, I would come downstairs to the living room, and he would take a book of the Bible from the bookcase. He would open it, and then we would read together. He would tell me of its riches and unfold to me its truths. He would make my heart warm as he revealed his love and his grace he had toward me. These were wonderful hours together. In fact, we called the living room the withdrawing room. It was a period when we had our quiet time together. But little by little, under the pressure of many responsibilities, this time began to be short. Why, I don't know, but I thought I was just too busy to spend time with Christ. This was not intentional, you understand. It just happened that way. Finally, not only was the time short, but I began to miss a day now and then. It was examination time at the university. Then it was some other urgent emergency. I would miss it 2 days in a row and often more. I remember one morning when I was in a hurry, rushing downstairs, eager to be on my way. As I passed the living room, the door was open. Looking in, I saw a fire in the fireplace, and Jesus was sitting there. Suddenly, in dismay, I thought to myself, he was my guest. I invited him into my heart. He has come as Lord of my home, and yet here I am, neglecting him. I turned and went in. With downcast glance, I said, Blessed Master, forgive me. Have you been here all these mornings? Yes, he said. I told you I would be here every morning to meet with you. Then I was even more ashamed. He had been faithful in spite of my unfaithfulness. I asked his forgiveness, and he readily forgave me as he does when we are truly repentant. The trouble with you is this. You've been thinking of the quiet time of the Bible study and prayer time as a factor in your own personal progress, but you have forgotten that this hour means something to me also. Remember, I love you. I have redeemed you at great cost. I value your friendship. Now, he said, do not neglect this hour, if only for my sake. Whatever else may be your desire, remember, I want your friendship. You know, the truth that Christ desires my companionship, that he loves me, wants me to be with him, wants to be with me and waits for me, has done more to transform my quiet time with God than any other single fact. Don't let Christ wait alone in the living room of your heart, but every day, find some time when, with your Bible and in prayer, you may be together with him. Before long, he asked, do you have a workroom in your home? Down in the basement of the home of my heart, I had a workbench and some equipment, but I was not doing much with it. Once in a while, I would play around with a few little gadgets, but I wasn't producing anything substantial or worthwhile. I'd let him down there. He looked over the workbench and what little talents and skills I had. He said, this is quite well furnished. What are you producing with your life for the kingdom of God? He looked at one of two little toys that I had thrown together on the bench and held one up to me. Are these little toys all that you're doing for others in your Christian life? Well, I said, Lord, that's the best I can do. I know it isn't much, and I really want to do more, but after all, I have no skill or strength to do more. Would you like to do better, he asked. Certainly, I replied. All right, let me have your hands. Now relax in me and let my spirit work through you. I know that you are unskilled, clumsy, and awkward, but the Holy Spirit is the master worker, and if he controls your hands and your heart, he will work through you. And so, stepping around behind me and putting his great strong hands over mine, controlling the tools with his skilled fingers, he began to work through me. There's much more that I must still learn. I'm very far from satisfied with the product that is being turned out. But I do know that whatever has been produced for God has been through his strong hand and through the power of his spirit in me. Do not become discouraged because you cannot do much for God. Your ability is not the fundamental condition. It's who is controlling your fingers and upon whom you are relying. Give your talents and gifts to God, and he will do things with them that will surprise you. I remember the time he asked me about the playroom. I was hoping he would not ask about that. There were certain associations and friendships, activities and amusement that I wanted to keep for myself. I did not think Christ would enjoy them or approve of them, so I evaded the question. But there came an evening when I was on my way out with some of my friends, and as I was about to cross the threshold He stopped me with a glance and asked, "Are you going out?" I replied, "Yes." "Good," he said. "I'd like to go with you." "Oh," I answered rather awkwardly. "I don't think, Lord Jesus, that you would really want to go with us. Let's go out tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we'll go to prayer meeting, but tonight I have another appointment." He said, "That's all right, only I thought that when I came into your home, we were going to do everything together, to be close companions. I just want you to know that I'm willing to go with you." "Well," I said, "we'll go someplace together tomorrow night." That evening, I spent some miserable hours. I felt wretched. What kind of a friend was I to Jesus when I was deliberately leaving him out of my associations, doing things and going places that I knew very well he would not enjoy? When I returned that evening, there was a light on in his room, and I went up to talk it over with him. I said, "Lord, I've learned my lesson. I can't have a good time without you. From now on, we will do everything together." Then we went down into the playroom of the house, and he transformed it. He brought into life real joy, real happiness, real satisfaction, new friends, new excitement, new joys. Laughter and music have been ringing through the house ever since. There's just one more matter that I might share with you. One day I found him waiting for me at the door. An arresting look was in his eye. As I entered, he said to me, "There's a peculiar odor in the house. There's something dead around here. It's upstairs. I think it's in the hall closet." As soon as he said this, I knew what he was talking about. Yes, there was a small closet up there on the landing, just a few square feet. And in that closet, behind lock and key, I had one or two little personal things that I did not want anyone to know about, and certainly I did not want Jesus to see them. I knew they were dead and rotting things left over from the old life, and yet I loved them, and I wanted them so for myself that I was afraid to admit that they were there. Reluctantly, I went up with him, and as we mounted the stairs, the odor became stronger and stronger. He pointed out the door. "It's in there, something dead." I was angry. That's the only way I can put it. I had given him access to the library, the dining room, the living room, the workroom, the playroom, and now he was asking me about a little 2x4 closet. I said to myself, "This is too much. I am not going to give him the key." "Well," he said, reading my thoughts, "if you think I'm going to stay up here on the second floor with this odor, you are mistaken. I'll take my bed out on the back porch. I'm certainly not going to put up with that." Then I saw him start down the stairs. When you have come to know and love Christ, the worst thing that can happen is to sense his fellowship retreating from you. I had to surrender. "I'll give you the key," I said sadly, "but you'll have to open the closet and clean it out. I haven't the strength to do it." "I know," he said. "I know you haven't. Just give me the key. Just authorize me to take care of that closet, and I will." So with trembling fingers, I passed the key to him. He took it from my hand, walked over to the door, opened it, entered it, took out all the putrefying stuff that was rotting there and threw it away. Then he cleaned the closet and painted it, fixed it up, doing it all in a moment's time. Oh, what victory and release to have that dead thing out of my life. Then a thought came to me. I said to myself, "I've been trying to keep this heart of mine clear for Christ. I start on one room, and no sooner have I cleaned that than another room is dirty. May I begin on the second room and the first room comes dusty again. I am so tired and weary trying to maintain a clean heart and an obedient life. I'm just not up to it. So I ventured a question. Lord, is there any chance that you would take over the responsibility of the whole house and operate it for me and with me just as you did that closet for me and with me just as you did that closet? Would you take the responsibility to keep my heart what it ought to be and my life where it ought to be? I could see his face light up as he replied, certainly, that's what I came to do. You cannot be a victorious Christian in your own strength. That's impossible. Let me do it through you and for you. That's the way. But, he added slowly, I am not owner of this house. I am just a guest. I have no authority to proceed, since the property is not mine. I saw it in a minute, and dropping to my knees, I said, Lord, you have been a guest and I have been the host. From now on, I am going to be the servant. You are going to be the owner and master and Lord. Running as fast as I could to the strong box, I took out the title deed to the house, describing its assets and liabilities, location and situation and condition. I eagerly signed it over to belong to him alone for time and eternity. Here, I said, here it is, all that I am and have forever. Now, you run the house. I'll just remain with you as a servant and friend. He took my life that day, and I can give you my word. There's no better way to live the Christian life. He knows how to keep it in shape, and deep peace settles down on the soul. May Christ settle down and be at home in your heart as Lord of all. And so, I have written a deed to our hearts. And if you haven't done it before, or if you just need to renew the process, I invite you to fill this out. I should have made paper copies to hand out, but I didn't. But here's how it reads. I, and to fill in your name, do hereby fully relinquish all ownership of my heart, my life, my all, to Jesus Christ from this day forward through eternity. Jesus Christ shall have final say in all decisions regarding every area of my life from now on. Nothing shall be held back from him. I am his alone. Being of sound mind, I hereby sign below, making this a legally binding document. Signed, the 6th day of June, 2021. Then the grantee, that's you. And the grantor has already signed it, Jesus Christ. We're going to pray. Now I'm going to start with a few moments of silence. If you'd like to, I would invite you to make this agreement with Jesus in your heart. Just read through it in your mind and commit your life afresh or for the first time to Jesus in a complete way with nothing held back. Let's pray. Jeremy, when you come up and play My Heart Is Yours song, and I invite us, if you've made this commitment in your heart to Christ tonight in our prayer time, that you join me in singing this song as a prayer to the Lord, to seal as a testimony that I'm yours. Our lives are yours, Lord. Fill us, have your way. Holy Spirit, lead us, direct us, change us into the very likeness of Christ himself. We thank you. In Jesus' awesome name, amen. God bless you with an awesome weekend.